Good morning, New Denver Church. Nice to be with you here today. Thank you for having me. My name is Brian. When I was 16 years old, I worked at a hotel and as a porter or bellboy, if you will. And there was a gym downstairs, so I would go there after my shift, and it was free for staff and also for guests. So I decided to get on the bench. It was the first time ever, and I had no idea of how much weight I could handle. So I just grabbed the biggest disc, or whatever you call it, and I stuck it on the bar and on both sides, and then I got on the bench, and I lay back, and I lifted it off the rack, and I pulled it down over my neck, and I could not get it back up. And I pushed, and I tried as hard as I could. And in that moment, this panic kind of set in, because it's like, I'm going to die. Like, I don't want to die at 16, and I don't want to die this way. Like, I don't want, I'm sorry about your son, Mr. Ralph. How did he die? It's a long story. So, luckily, there was a guy in the corner at the time, a huge guy, and he was from Brussels, and he had big muscles. And I often think of him, no, it's true, I often think of him when that song from Men at Work is on, Land Down Under, buying bread from a man in Brussels, 6'4" and full of muscles. No, so he was just like that, except he wasn't 6'4". So he says, are you okay? Or however Brussels people sound. And I said, no. And he walks over, and he had this massive arm. He had an arm like Mr. Michelin. It was huge. And he wasn't showing off, because he was a really nice fella. So he leans over, he grabs the bar, and he just lifts it up with such ease. And I get up, and he says, are you okay? And I said, I'm okay. I'm wondering if that's ever happened to anyone here. I'm guessing it hasn't. Because any weightlifters out there, you knew better not to put those kind of weights on, right? And if it did happen to you, you know a technique out of it that's kind of smooth, or you're just not going to admit to it here like I have. But what about in... what about if we shift that from physical into an emotional... maybe spiritual sense. Have you ever had a weight on you that was so heavy, or maybe not so heavy, but because it was in the emotional or spiritual sense, you just couldn't move it? And it could have been a 5-pound weight, or it could have been a 200-pound weight, metaphorically, but you could feel it on you in your spirit, but you just couldn't quite lift it. And you desperately needed someone to lift it for you. So, we come into a season here of Advent, and you're probably wondering, why are we talking? Why are we starting with a downer thing about weight? Why don't we start with fun things like tinsel and gingerbread lattes and fun stuff and movies we're going to see? Why don't we just like start the joy there? But the truth is, during this season, stuff like weight that comes upon us, it doesn't submit to our Gregorian calendar. It doesn't stop and say, well, it's the holidays, so we're going to leave her alone, but we're going to get her on January 7th. Circumstances don't happen like that. And sometimes the actual Advent season itself can actually bring the weight with it. So whether it's big or small, oftentimes this season can bring anxiety with it. Oftentimes it can be the anxiety of too much work. Maybe you're in a job where this season is really just crushing you. And it's a season that you don't really look forward to. I know friends in large churches who, this is a difficult season for them because they have a lot of programs and a lot of stuff they have to do. And I think internally they're thinking, I can't wait to get past Christmas. I'll never say that because I'm a Christian and I work in a church. But or maybe your weight is the opposite. Maybe you're out of a job and you're tired of your friends who have jobs complaining they're so busy. And you're thinking, well, I wish I had a job and I was busy, because maybe your weight is completely different. Maybe the weight that you carry is, I've been waiting all this time, I'm waiting for a job, we're coming to Christmas, and I'm broke. And I don't want to have that conversation with people like, don't buy me gifts because I can't buy you one back, let's just exchange cards, I don't want to have that conversation. Or maybe your weight is, this season, you're going to go through Christmas with someone not there for whatever reason. Or maybe you're going to go through Christmas alone again, and that's the weight that you carry. So while I don't want to We were talking about waiting, and I got confused. I thought it was a different wait. No, I'm totally kidding. As we approach Advent, I want to go to a scripture that's an unusual scripture that was assigned to me by my professor. But I think there's some great messages in here. It's a letter that was written to a group of people 2,000 years ago. Maybe you're thinking, really? We can't find something more recent like 5 years ago in a psychology journal? But there's an importance to this letter because this letter was written by an apostle. And in the Christian church, we believe that the apostles were specifically gifted and inspired by God to say his words to us. Now, I don't know where you're at with your journey. Maybe you don't buy that. But can I come in from this angle? It was written by James, who was Jesus' younger brother. Maybe you didn't even know he had a younger brother. He did. They were half brothers. So they had the same mom, but different dads. And you can figure that out yourself later. So James is a younger brother of Jesus, and he writes this letter, and we've captured it. We have it as part of our New Testament. If you have a Bible with you today, go ahead and move into James. If you're kind of new to the Bible, just if you have one, just grab it. Go all the way to the back of Revelation and take a left. And if you hit Hebrews, you went too far left, so go right again. So, and then if you're completely lazy, you could just probably watch over my head and it'll appear. So I want to read a section of this letter. Now, if you get a letter in the mail, you're not going to read it. You're not going to start four-fifths of the way through. You're going to read the whole thing because something will be said four-fifths of the way through and you'll lose the context and you'll read back. Now, in church, we did this all the time. We do a weird thing like we grab a section of the letter and we read it out of context, right? I can't read the whole letter because it's short, but it's a bit too long to go through. So I'm just going to give you a bit of the context of what's going on before we hit this passage. So James, before the passage we're going to look at, has just written to a bunch of rich people, and he has just hammered them for their oppression of the poor. Because oppression of the poor was a problem back then. So he pretty much rips on the rich and says, give them their wages, don't hold back their wages. And he's really kind of hard on them. James doesn't mess around. He's only got so much scroll and he has a lot to say and he says it. But he says it with a loving heart of a pastor. So he kind of gives the rich a hard time and now he moves into the poor. And this is what he says. Be patient then, brothers and sisters, until the Lord's coming. It's kind of funny. He could have said, until my big brother's coming. Because if there's a claim to fame location in the Bible, he could have said, yeah, he was my brother. Just not a lot of people know that, but he was my older brother. But he doesn't refer to him as his older brother. He says, until the Lord's coming. Because after Christ's resurrection, he appeared to James, his brother. And I don't know if my brother passed away for 3 days and came back, maybe I'd call him Lord too. I don't know. But he refers to him as his Lord. And it says, see how the farmer waits for the land to yield its valuable crop, patiently waiting for the autumn and spring rains. You too, be patient and stand firm because the Lord's coming is near. The word coming there, when they translated that later into Latin, they used the word adventum, or adventus. We get our word advent from it. And in the Latin-speaking world, advent was really the arrival of someone really important to a city, usually a king. When a king was coming, they called it advent. It was the arrival of someone very important. So James is using that word there. And he's saying, be patient like the farmer. So he's drawing this parallel where he's saying, like the farmer plants the seed, and then all he can do is wait, and he's reliant on an external force like the rain to make that crop happen. You too, in the same way, when you're under that weight, and in this case, these people were oppressed, you also need to wait for someone external to get through this. You have to wait for the coming of Jesus, like the farmer in the rain. You also wait for the coming of the Lord. Now, one thing to note here was there was a belief, and there still is, that the Lord's coming back is imminent. Now, we look back when these people got this letter, say, in 50 AD, and we look back and we realize, well, he didn't actually come back, so you would have been waiting a long time. But I think that might be a misunderstanding of that word, because the coming, or as we say, Adventus, can also be translated as the presence of the Lord. And in Advent, we celebrate when Christ came in human flesh, and we're celebrating when he will come again, but there's a continual coming of Christ. There's a continual presence where he's ever present. When he left us, He left us his Spirit, and he said he would even be more present through his Spirit. So this coming of the Lord is this coming of Christ. So the first observation on that section I want to make is that when you feel the weight, wait for the lifter. In my case, it was the guy from Brussels, but in the supernatural, if you're feeling the weight, wait for Christ. Wait for the coming of the Lord. Wait for the presence of the Lord. Second thing I want to say in verse 9 is, don't grumble against one another, brothers and sisters, or you will be judged. The judge is standing at the door. That's verse 9. I think when we're under this weight, whatever it might be, there's a temptation to grumble, to kind of bark. And James is talking to these people that although you're under that place, don't strike out at people in your community. Don't strike out at the people closest to you. And oftentimes when we're under that weight, we don't explode at work, at least I don't, because I want people to like me, so it's like, but on the inside I may. But when I get home, when you're comfortable or you're around comfortable people, your friends or family, it can come out. The barking can come out because we feel comfortable. And James is saying, don't do that. On a Thursday, I was under, I mean, it was a small weight, but it was still bringing out the worst in me. We were invited to Evergreen to a dinner at 1:00, and there was a lot of anxiety around it. My wife was anxious because she's afraid of heights. She hates the mountains, and she was afraid of slipping off the road. And we actually did. We almost slipped off the road. We started going sideways, so her fear was validated. We were all stressed. So we're gonna start right at 1:00. We're gonna eat at 1:00. So I was counting back with the kids, and I turned into this project manager. I said, nobody should be doing nothing at this point. No game playing, kids. Everyone's got to be doing something. And I became this drill sergeant. And at one point, because I was under that tension, I said something mean to my son. And he kind of smiled when I said it. But then his smile changed, and I could see it in his eyes that I heard him. And I pulled him aside and said, Liam, I'm really sorry. When my heart's under the squeeze, I feel like the worst of me comes out. Maybe you've been in that place yourself. So I apologized and I moved on. And it happens. And forgiveness is there, and ask for forgiveness and move on. But we have to be aware that when we're under that weight, oftentimes we can growl. So the second observation I want to make on verse 9 is, when you feel the weight, don't growl. In the final section I want to read here is starting in verse 10. Brothers and sisters, as an example of patience in the face of suffering, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. As you know, we count as blessed those who have persevered. You have heard of Job's perseverance and have seen what the Lord finally brought about. The Lord is full of compassion and mercy. I want to just camp a little bit more on this section because it's so rich with a lot of good stuff. A few words, if you have your own Bible and you're okay highlighting, I'd suggest that you highlight the word. In this translation, it's perseverance or persevered. It appears twice. Maybe it's steadfast in your translation. Now, I'm not a Bible scholar, but I am kind of opinionated. I'm not crazy about perseverance because in my mind, perseverance is kind of like just press on, onward, Christian soldier. Just fake it till you make it. And I feel like that word, maybe there's not a good English translation. It's in the Greek, it's a compound word, and the literal translation is remain or stand and under. Remain under, stand under. That's what it says. And whenever it's used, it's usually used to people as an encouragement to stand under an oppression, a pressing down that they're feeling in that moment. So if we're under that weight, instead of just pretending it's not there, God is saying just remain under, just wait under. The other word I want to talk about is patience. It appears a lot through this whole section we just talked about. And James is saying, wait under the weight. Be patient under that weight. Stand under that weight, but be patient as you do so. The third word is purpose I want to talk about. If you're under a weight, could there be a purpose for that? Could God bring a purpose out from that? So in the case of my situation with the guy from Brussels, I was under that weight, and then I never got under that weight again, that specific weight. But I did go back to the gym, and I used those arm weights, because the guy from Brussels checked out of the hotel, and he couldn't save me anymore, so I just didn't want to risk that bench again. So, but I did notice that when I started doing those weights that, you know, there was a response. I could see, you know, these teen muscles appear, and it was... there was a response. Now, we see that in the physical world. When we see resistance, we see some building of muscle. And why would we not think in the spiritual world that it's the same situation? Because in the spiritual world, we also see evidence after evidence of people being under a weight and remaining under that weight, and God building some spiritual muscle as they sit and as they remain and as they are patient under that weight. Now, James talks about the prophets of old. The prophets of old were under a weight, and the reason why is because they would often go up against kings who were oppressing people, and they'd get in the king's face. Now, these were kings who had entire armies, and you'd have these prophets who were just on their own, maybe with a staff, and they'd walk up to the king, and they would just set him straight, like, you need to stop that right now. And some of those prophets were killed, some of them were chased down, but they were under their own oppressive weight because of speaking up. James also talks about Job here. Job is an interesting character. It's a difficult story to read if you're not familiar with it. Job, as we read the story, had everything going for him. He had a lot of stuff. He had a loving family, a lot of good stuff, and he loses it all tragically, suddenly. And as he walks through this journey with his friends, they're saying, well, maybe you sinned or something. Maybe there's something you did wrong. And they're wrong. He didn't sin. He didn't do anything wrong. So it's kind of confusing for Job as he's in this fog of wondering, like, why am I sitting under this oppression? What did I do? What's going on? Now, the reader gets an understanding of what happened because at the beginning of the book, we see what's going on in the supernatural realm. And the book opens with God in the presence of these angelic beings. And God is saying, look at Job, isn't he great? And then one angelic being, this dark spirit, the Hebrew literal translation is the accuser walks up to God and says, hey, he's only good because you give him stuff and you bless him. But if you take all that stuff away, he'll curse you to your face, God. And God basically says, well, we'll see. So Job loses everything. And all the way through this, at one point, his wife even says to Job, why don't you just curse God and die? Because you are in a miserable state. And Job's response is, even if God kills me, I'll still praise him, which is an amazing, it almost sounds insane, act of faith. But what Job does is, through remaining under and waiting, his faith is revealed to be real. And he basically answers the accuser's accusation of, I'm not just in it for the stuff. I don't love God because God gives me stuff. I love God because of him. And he passes that test. And I think Job's a great example of someone who remained under that weight. A few years ago, 2010, I was in a startup company and I was let go. So after a string of, I don't know, 20 years of being in different companies, I was without a job. And I had 4 weeks severance because it was a small company that lost major business. So there was, at one level, it was like, okay, I'm kind of glad not to be doing that because I sensed this wasn't what I was supposed to be doing. I just didn't know exactly what I was going to move into. So through that journey, I ended up being out of work for about 5 months. There was anxiety and there was weight about unemployment and about not having enough money and are we going to go broke? And I just really needed God to turn up in those moments. And through that period of 5 months, I grew in areas of fear, or grew out of a lot of areas of fear and grew into areas of trust. And some of those flabby muscles of mine of just, you know, saying I trusted God, but really, you know, putting my lack of money where my mouth was, if you will, I started to grow. And it was tough because it was a foggy road, but I got closer to God and I just couldn't quite see, where am I going? Like, I don't want to go back to what I did, but I don't know where I'm going. And through that time, the whole journey, the whole response to going into ministry and coming out here to Denver to go to Denver Seminary happened. I'm not sure if that would have happened if I hadn't remained under the weight and been patient and just waited for God to just reveal that journey. So when you feel the weight, ask for a purpose. Or better still, is there, sorry if you can't see this down the back, is there a purpose? So, all right, I've talked a long time. Let me start bringing this, let me bring the landing gear down on this. I have three homework assignments. Some of you will not take any. I'll never know if you took any, so you don't have to do any. Some won't have to take any. Some of you will take one, some will take two, some will take all three, and you decide. You're maybe here, and you're on a spiritual journey, and maybe you grew up in the church, and you left, and you're kind of coming back slowly. Maybe you grew up in the church, and you just went through a really dry spell, or maybe you're completely far into Christianity, and you're just on a journey, and you're a spiritual person. You believe there's a supernatural world there, or all around us, and yet we live in this natural world. You know that in Christianity, that we believe there's a supernatural world behind this thin veil, and God at one point in history stepped through that veil and took on human form in the person of Jesus. When Jesus was a grown man, he said, "Come to me, all you who are heavy laden or under a weight, and I will give you rest." This isn't the kind of rest where you have a nap this afternoon. This isn't I get a week off for Christmas rest. This isn't 2 weeks in Maui rest, which sounds great though. But it's a deeper rest. It's a supernatural rest that goes quite deep. Your homework assignment is, as you go through these holidays, this Advent season, ask yourself the question, is my heart at rest? And if it's not, ask Jesus for that rest. You've nothing to lose. In fact, you can start your homework right now. If that needs to be your homework, you can zone out of everything else I say, and in this moment in time, you can ask him that question. You don't have to light a candle. You don't have to be in a church, although you're in a church now, but you don't have to be here. You can ask that question wherever you are. Ask that question, Jesus, I'm lacking in that supernatural rest. Would you give it to me? And in fact, would you show me behind the veil while you're at it? That's your homework assignment. Homework assignment number two. If you feel the squeeze and you're growling, I want you to, let me write out homework assignment one first. I'm so sorry. That's a simple one. Ask Jesus for peace. We'll say and rest. Number two, don't growl. I want you to ask. What do I want you to ask? Well, I want you to ask someone for help. Let me break this down a little more. In the book of in Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, Paul writes a letter and he says, referring to God, he says, the God of all comfort. And he says, the God of all comfort who comforts us in our afflictions so that we can comfort those in their afflictions. So this is you, right? Somebody has gone through something, may not be similar to you, they've gone through it, and God has equipped them to help you through it. And what Paul's saying is, you've gone through it, now help someone else. So your homework assignment is to ask someone for help on this journey, to walk with you on this journey. It could be someone in your small group, or if you don't have a small group, call the church office and say, hey, that guy on Sunday was talking about this, helping out, and I need someone to walk with me. So ask. And if you're in the other group where you've gone through it, be open and ready to be activated in your gift that you've gone through it. Now you're going to help someone else go through it. That's homework assignment number two. Number three, final assignment. As you as you go through your wait, I want you to ask the question of God. Ask for a purpose. I mentioned the prophets earlier, their purpose, the reason they went through difficulties because they opened their mouth. And I would imagine God was saying, I know it's hard and I'm going to be with you through this, but you did the right thing. You spoke up against injustice. But what about Job? He didn't know what was going on. Ask God, is there a purpose in all of this? Is there something I need to learn through this weight that I'm carrying? I'm not saying God caused it, because life is fractured and you could just be going through some difficulty. But I'm convinced that God can grow you in that area as you go through this weight. So ask God the question, is there a purpose in this that I'm going through this? I think he'd be happy to answer that question for you. And then lastly, please don't get caught up in thinking, my weight's a first world problem. I'm not going to ask God. And now, if God's a cosmic project manager, then that might be an issue. Because God might say, well, I got these bigger issues to deal with, and you're going to have to go to the bottom. But if God is a loving father, all-powerful father, like the Bible says he is, then your weight's important no matter what, how heavy it is, because he's your father and he cares. My kids come to me all the time with first world problems, and they're crying. And I could say, get over it, there's kids starving on the other side of the world. But it's heavy for them. And whatever you're going through, God cares. Okay, I'm going to pray for us and then leave you. Lord, thank you for this time. I pray for a great Advent season ahead of us. I pray that whatever weights we may carry, either today or weights from the past that still leave their essence, or future weights that may come, I pray over my brothers and sisters here, that you would be with them. I pray specifically that you would lift the weight from them in the time that you would choose to do so. And if there is something to be learned, I also pray that you would reveal a purpose, that you would build some spiritual muscles for people who are waiting during this time. And Lord, I pray for those who are feeling the squeeze also, as they feel that squeeze, that they wouldn't bark, that they would ask for help from this community of people, that you would activate the gift of comfort in this community. And I pray for a time that we could find joy, even if we are under this weight, as we wait for your Son, the advent of the King of Kings. In Jesus' name, amen.